All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J to start your day on 92.9 FM ESPN. Yes, we are a morning show. Still getting used to it, but I tell you what, it feels good. Got out of here. I was pretty productive at noon yesterday. I don't know about John. Now, we have got plenty to talk about because for 3 hours, you're gonna get some work out of us. And that's what we're here to do. Ja Morant and the team, the Memphis Grizzlies, have touched down, of course, in Germany. And all the talk is about whether Ja Morant's going to play in one of these two games in Europe. We will talk about that. Boy, was Monday Night Football one-sided yesterday. Were we watching the end of Aaron Rodgers? Did you see his face turned one way and the helmet turned the other at the end? Could be a sad sort of picture of the end of his career if it's all said and done after that 30-6 beatdown. Let me tell you what, it wasn't C.J. Stroud doing the beating down, was it? It was that defense. Stroud was trying to keep him in the game.
Yeah.
Keep the Steelers in the game. Mike Tomlin, the Steelers lose again. We will talk about that. And Penny Hardaway had some things to say on his radio show last night after that loss to FAU on Sunday. First loss for the Tigers in conference. Guess they'll try to make that up tomorrow, John, against a Temple team that'll know very well this Tigers team, but certainly one in Barry that it knows very well. And it said openly they'd hoped he was going to stay there. Hadn't been so consistent for Memphis. You're still trying to find that consistency throughout this entire roster. Yes, Quante Barry sort of returning home again, at least in a game against Temple.
Quante Barry Day. We will celebrate that around Memphis. Thank you for everything, Quante. I think Quante Barry's going to get cut out of the rotation, though. I'm a little worried.
Why?
Penny tells me he's going to 7-8. Now he's going to be on the chopping block.
They're 7-8 better than him?
I mean, if you just look at, you know, the minute distribution.
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, I'm with you. But, you know, I don't understand it at this point.
I don't believe it anyway. So
who is in? Who's out? We don't know.
It could change.
On a game-to-game basis, do we?
It could absolutely change. All right, welcome to your Tuesday here on the show. Exciting day as we get ready for the Grizz-Europe games, which will be happening during Jeffrey's show. Would have happened during our old show hours. Now they're going to happen during Jeffrey's show, those Europe games. So we will get into that. Ja Morant, is he going to play? Are you in, Ja? Where does this all stand? We'll get to that in just a little bit. Trisha Crick's going to join us at 10 a.m. Looking forward to catching up with her. We'll talk to her about, you know, all of this. Obviously, she said months ago that the Grizzlies should be trading Ja.
Sure did.
And so, you know, aged pretty well. So we'll talk to her about that, the rest of the NBA, and more at 10 a.m. Also, there's a little bit of WNBA news. I don't know if you're following. They're in, like, in a labor strike. They're in a, you know, they're
knew that one, yeah.
And they're trying to, you know, come up with this new CBA. They just had a moratorium yesterday on free agency. They're going to have a free agency, but it seems like those talks have slowed to a crawl. And for Trista, who, you know, that's kind of her main job. Obviously not a great place it feels like the WNBA is in right now. So we may touch on that as well.
Excellent.
Then at 11:45, Jessica Benson's going to join us. So
Same time. Different show, same time.
I think only her and Drew Hill are actually staying the same.
Insane.
Yeah, it's insane. Yep, same. Drew Hill and Jessica Benson are all
exact same time slot.
They're just shifting from first to third.
We appreciate them.
We're working on some other, you know, weekly guests and things like that we're shifting around. So, anyway, that is the show today. But for the first time in our new time slot, Brad, let's do a little thing we call Cap or No Cap.
It means lying.
You're lying. That's cap.
No cap means I ain't lying.
No, no cap.
It's Cap or No Cap on 92.9's J&J Show.
All right. Ja Morant is going to play in Europe. Cap or no cap?
Well, Isolo said as much, that there's a chance he's going to play. Now, keep in mind, the Grizzlies have said that this is injury, the reason they're holding him out. I don't know how many of us believe that at this point. But I believe he is going to play, that would be, in this case, no cap. Ja's got a lot riding here, a lot on the line. It's not just what's going to happen with Ja and the Grizzlies. Will they get him traded? Can they work things out and bring him back? It's his brand. Remember, he went on a world tour this offseason. You know, it was all about selling the shoes, everything else. Ja threes this year. Talked about how big he wanted the campaign to be, and really it to align with a big year for him on the court. And so it's still about the Ja brand, and it's one of the reasons we've talked about it. You know, Ja Morant, it's one of the reasons you wanted the Memphis Grizzlies in this. in terms of this European game if you're the NBA. And yes, you got Desmond Bane over the other side. And listen, you know, Orlando's got its German connections with the Wagners. But this was one of the big reasons because Ja, to this point coming up in the season, was the box office guy that was worldly, right? Especially for a brand like Nike. Mm. And so for that reason, for all those reasons, and yes, even as it relates to on the court, yeah, you know, I know we were saying yesterday, well, if you put him out there, he could get hurt again, and then you can't trade him. So, boy, you better hold on to him. I know you've got the 40-plus game against Philly, but at this point, you know, are we going to be mad if Ja Morant's, you know, out there and maybe slightly turns an ankle? No, I think for a lot of reasons you'd rather see him. You want to see him come to work. How about that?
Yeah.
For every other guy that's showing up to work every day out there. How about that part? Even if these are the last days and last hours of Ja as a Grizzly. But I'm banking on it because of his brand, which Ja Morant has always been about selling.
Yes.
Catch my drift.
Yeah. I mean, he's been advertised as a part of this thing. He's been the face of it. The Wagners, I would assume, will play. Mo Wagner returned from an ACL injury like two games ago.
They're trying to, God bless them.
I mean, yeah, it's a pretty historic thing for them. I don't think they're from Berlin, but obviously, you know, an NBA game happening in Germany is historic. So I would expect if they can play. They were born in Berlin.
I was going to say, yeah. It says, yeah, Berlin native.
Man. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's they're going to play. Come on. Franz is going to play. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little conflicted about it because I don't necessarily know if I want him to play. That's the issue. It's like
if you're the Grizzlies,
yeah. Well, if I'm a Grizzlies fan, you know, I don't know if I want Ja Morant to play given the what's on the table. It doesn't really like I feel like it can only go badly at this point. Like what good can come from it? Because there's nothing he can do that's going to change the mind of the organization's decision here.
No, this is about the NBA and his brand more so than it is anything with the Grizzlies and changing any minds of a GM that needs to see one more game of Ja scoring 30. You know what I mean?
Well, does he?
I mean,
it's so larger than that.
Now, I'm with you on, boy, if he gets hurt,
yeah.
How are we going to get a return then? If you're where sort of the Grizzlies' front office is and say, listen, we're at the point of no return.
Right.
And this guy goes out and gets hurt? What are you – and seriously injured?
Well, what is the plan?
How do you explain that?
Is it just he's going to come back?
But that's the point. You can't be scared of that, I suppose. And especially in a game like, you know, John, it's not just organizational pressure. I guarantee you Nike is all over him about playing in these. Like, dude, you got to show up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all his bosses are on him. So I think you're right. Grizzlies fans, do we want it? Well, not if you want him to stay healthy and you've reached a point where You want best return for him?
Well, I realize there
are. But you can't do that. You can't play that game and put him in bubble wrap.
There are definitely some Grizzlies fans out there who are holding on to the fact that there's a chance that he could still be a Grizzly, you know, a month from now.
You could have been playing him in the games here. You had him listed as questionable. You've downgraded him and everything else. If he plays in these games in Europe, it's more about the brand, like I've said.
What's the plan, though? What's the plan? So he plays.
The plan is to get him traded.
I know. I know generally, this Jason, is just, but I'm saying, like, what is the plan for you play him in Europe and then you just keep playing him? Like, or, like, because that's where I get concerned. If it's 8 games, 10 games, 12 games.
Are you asking me, are they going to trade him? Or are they going to get it worked out? Or are you asking me what's going to. I mean, it's been up and down the entire time. They could play him in Berlin, play him in London as well, about the brand, and then pull him back and put another fake injury on it, John.
Right. That's what I'm really asking.
That's kind of what you were doing with Atlanta, and we're seeing some of that. It doesn't need to be uncomfortable for us. It's already uncomfortable for the Grizzlies. I just think he plays more because of brand than any idea it is of coming back, saving things with the Grizzlies, or selling to some other GM that, hey, here's the good Ja, trade for me.
Yeah.
I think this will be, if he does play, which I believe he will, it'll be more about NBA says he needs to and has to. We picked y'all for this.
Right.
And Nike says, bruh, get out there. We got to sell shoes on a worldwide basis.
Well, it's clearly trending that way. I guess I'm just like more like, are they going to, like you said, are they going to put some fake injury on him when he gets back? Because I don't understand the philosophy of like, hey, you know, because he is the injury prone player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It,
oh, yeah.
You know, I just feel like if something serious were to happen, it's going to tank your you know, opportunities for which are already, honestly, probably minimal in terms of value. You know, you go from minimal to zero if he gets hurt.
Ja has taken the majority of our criticism since the Grizzlies have announced the trade, much because we've talked about he's put them in this position, right? He's not available and everything else. But if you look at where they are now, the mess that this is, again, the mess that last year was, between Taylor Jenkins and Tuomas Iisalo and everything else. There should be a lot of criticism, clearly right now, too, of Zach Kleiman in the situation there. You're not even in a situation where you can truly trust that you're going to get solid value for Ja Morant. Part of this is on the man that helped make the mess. So there is a part of me that feels guilty about hurling, turning on John this way. It's what we've done. We've held him up all the way coming into 2025, let's be real,
right,
and trusted he was going to come out of this.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, this has just been Ja the whole time, and some of it's been the way you've handled Ja. So again, this mess, how uncomfortable things are right now. What are you going to do if he comes back and he plays there, but you don't want him playing here?
Right.
Goes back to Zach Kleiman and the way these things have been handled. And if this all blows up where the return's nasty and everything else, I mean, who are we going to look to? We going to blame everything on John, the player that he wasn't, or are we going to look to the guy that helped make the mess with the coaching change and everything else? I don't know, John, that there was a way through with a perfect coach or anything, because, again, Ja had to be in on Iisalo.
Mm-hmm.
He was protesting Jenkins. He comes back. He plays well. He says, all offseason I'm in, and he wants to bail five games in because the guy's calling you out. You can't do that. How can you trust him with this coach, any coach? So he's put you in this position, but let's not be fake about this. Zach Kleiman has a ton of I won't say blame yet. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this Bane trade and everything else. But if this all blows up, we'll be all be looking at him and saying, "Boy, did you blow it?"
Yeah, I mean, you
hold the majority of the blame and responsibility.
Yeah, he's a decision maker, you know. I mean, and honestly, you know, if we want to blame Zach Kleiman, we could blame Zach Kleiman for it in some ways in this organization enabling Ja for as long as they did. Mm. They did. They enabled him. They basically made him feel like he could do no wrong. Was he really held to account for all the decisions that he made by the Grizzlies?
We discussed it. We understand the reasons why.
Right.
You feel like you have to.
You had to count out at the start, you know. But it sets up
another one of these.
A hard dynamic. Because here you are. You know, you've made everything you could. You know, you made every decision he wanted you to make. Still not good enough.
What the biggest elephant in the room is, Can you give a guy like this a contract extension? Because that's where you are.
Yeah. Well, they just
told you no.
Yeah.
Has he given you reason when he understood walking away from that? Man, I expected to get that, but I get it, right?
Yeah.
Does he understood what's got to happen? You got to play.
And he
has not done that, right?
I mean, Zach Kleiman understood it in the media.
He said, big year for, we need it from job. Needs to be a big year. And he understand it. Talking about playing 82 games.
Right.
He has not done his part.
Mm-hmm.
So we can be mad at Zach Kleiman for getting to this point, and that be absolutely fair. But Ja had an obligation right now.
That's right.
To give it everything he had from the get-go. Five games in, this man's bailing on you.
Yeah.
Questioning the coach.
And again, if he didn't like the coach, he should have spoken up.
You had the power. That's why I keep going back to. You had the power to get the kind of coach that Jason John were saying you should get, to go the OG veteran that we thought could speak your language and talk to you. You could have. You co-signed this with Iisalo, bro.
Yeah.
Especially once things were going and your numbers went up.
Now,
but again, he doesn't deserve all of this.
It is possible that even if he did speak up, they were so committed to that dude.
Well, yeah, it felt like Iisalo's just,
they clearly brought him in as the heir apparent.
He has sold Kleiman on him as a genius.
I think that is fair.
It feels like.
So even if Ja protested it, then it's very possible that they would not have change their minds.
But he didn't have to go along to get along.
Correct.
On that point.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
There's enough power. He is a star in this league enough that you don't have to co-sign the way you did here publicly or anything else.
Yeah, I don't know how that sounds. Like, if you don't like the hire, I don't know how you dress that up. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
He liked his numbers going up. Let's not act like those last nine games.
Of course he did. You know, he did. He liked the system.
I hate that we're here. It's awful. It's disappointing. A lot of it's Zach Kleiman.
It is. And then, I mean, if they get stuck in a long rebuild, he's obviously not going to be able to see his way through, would be my guess. But I think they're going to, give him a chance to maneuver it for now.
But I feel where you're coming from. If he plays in Europe, it feels to me like it's more about his brand, the NBA choosing the Grizzlies,
right,
Nike, than it is about trying to fix things with
absolutely
the Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
Or sell some other team on him right now in terms of your attempts to trade him,
right,
that he's still got it.
Yeah.
This is going to be about, and this, are we cool with that?
I don't know.
Like, we're Memphians. That's what I was telling somebody, man. We respect work, man. We respect coming to work.
Right.
That we respect Chip on the shoulder and it stand there, man.
Because it feels fake, right, if he just plays in Europe. And then he gets hurt.
It's just for the show.
Right. It's just like
because the last few games have told us you don't want to be here. You got the hood up and everything else,
yeah,
bro. You're not even, the team's up celebrating the last win. He was sitting down still.
Right.
And I get it. He'll talk about his feelings.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking about Josh's feelings in year seven. I think that's why we know it's time to move on. That said, we're all going to be looking at Zach Klein and said, bro, you better pull this together or else you're
yeah.
You know, in terms of your future in this league.
Well, Eastlow and Kleiman are like, they're a package deal, right? I feel like they go together.
Well, yeah, they do because, it's going to be in many NBA circles, you chose the coach over the star player. But let's be real. Those that were watching, Ja was in on this.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have any, so much of an issue, even though we said they need to go another coaching route here.
Right.
Just blaming it all on, you can't blame it all on Eastlow or everything. Ja was in for this.
The only thing that I put on Ja is, there's two things I put on Ja. Well, there's three. It's his availability, it's his shooting percentage from three, and it's his mood. I mean, those are the three things that I put on Ja.
Coming off of a lack of a contract extension where you understood it's about, we can't trust you right now.
Yeah.
It's your availability. We love you, John.
Yeah.
We want everything for you. But we need you to play
yep.
and be out there and make the right decisions so that we can pay.
That's right.
Play so we can pay.
And I think they would have.
Of course we would have. Yeah. He's the box office. He has given you nothing when it comes to that in terms of something you can trust. John, five games in. Things were looking good first half against the Lakers. He's flipping on you.
Yeah. I mean, then you get suspended.
I love him to death. How can I trust him?
That's not extension stuff. I mean,
again, we go through agents, left and right,
right.
Change his mind is hard to work with.
I think that's exactly right.
You tried, but
so I guess Jason, they are just going to play him through.
I think for the brand, for the NBA.
I mean, in Europe, I think they are definitely going to play him. The question then becomes like, what
when
are you
going
to do? Yeah, like, are you going to just? Is it going to be a one in every three games kind of thing? Like,
I mean, don't you think the teammates at this point understand it? It's not about sort of making, do they get it or not? They get now.
Absolutely.
So if they slap another, no, he's got another contusion on him, a foot contusion or something. Is it going to become ruin morale and everything else? They know how it's uncomfortable for them. Jaren was saying just the other day, he's over there talking. We're talking about trading him. He's sitting right here.
Right.
They already get how this is and the business of it. So, yeah, if they slap another injury on him after he gets back because you want to keep him healthy, it wouldn't surprise me. That's how I think he plays there. It's all the forces.
I think they're prepared.
Outside of just
the teammates are, right? I don't even think they necessarily hold anything against him. They're like, he's been on the training block. Like, we're preparing for life without Ja.
Right. So even if he's not standing up when the rest of the team is celebrating this last win against Brooklyn, I don't think as a teammate you're holding it against him because most probably think, they're dealing him anyway. We kind of get it. He's checking himself out. And frankly, front office seems checked out on Ja as well.
That's right. So we'll see. I mean, it doesn't sound like any great deals have presented themselves yet. Maybe that will take the next two and a half, 3 weeks to materialize. But as of now, it's kind of like an out-of-body experience. Like you have Ja out there on the trade block, playing in Europe probably.
If we should have gone and it could have all been fixed by having the – we always used Ime Udoka type, right? You think we're here with Ja? Because we always said that if you go get a rookie coach, it could go this way, even if Ja's in early.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be a
Sam Cassell type. It wasn't just Ime.
Yeah.
Remember, Sam had paid dues. We thought he was that kind of coach that could speak to a Ja. Are we here having this conversation if you got that kind of coach?
It's hard to say, It's hard to say. Like, is it possible that, Sam would have held Ja to an accountability that he was not comfortable with as well?
If Sam calls out Ja for the effort in Lakers, for the lack of effort, does he blow up all of a sudden, want to, be in and out on you?
Yeah.
If it's a different coach
instead of
you.
It's a good question. I don't know. I think there are coaches maybe that the Grizzlies would not have been able, like Mike Malone, like if, they would have had a guy like that who had won a championship or something like that.
Mike's not going to be the coach here because Zach doesn't want to be pushed to an uncomfortable point is the feeling I get.
I would agree with that.
We know Mike Malone will push back on front office. That's not something
There's definitely a hierarchy.
This front office has been used to or seems very comfortable with. Although, what have we said? Sometimes you got to get uncomfortable to grow.
That's right.
That's where you do your best growth.
That's right. And I think the Grizzlies hope that by not extending Ja, he would grow because it's the only way to get a chip on his shoulder.
And he understood that. And so now you got to pay some dues, put in some work.
Right.
And we didn't get it.
Did not get it.
To the degree that we needed it.
So we'll see how it all plays out. But it does seem like Ja is going to play, trending towards playing in Europe. So that would be no cap. All right, on to the NFL action last night. That was Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers' last game as Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that cap or no cap?
You start on this one, 36.
I am going to say no cap.
Mm-hmm. I thought you might go there.
You know, just because, you know, Mike Tomlin has not won a playoff game in 7 years. And six of the last seven playoff appearances that the Steelers have had, they have lost by double digits. You know, Aaron, I think, was going to retire after this year no matter what, even if they had made some kind of run. So I think that was probably always going to happen. But, I mean, if John Harbaugh can be fired by the Baltimore Ravens, who won a Super Bowl more recently than Mike Tomlin, then I would say Mike Tomlin can they may not call it firing. He may walk away. Like, it may be he actually may just walk away. It may not even be a firing. But I just kind of feel like it's time for a new voice in Pittsburgh. I don't know that his style is, you know, I don't know that his style is still resonating there anymore. I mean, 9-8 is 9-8, but you're not contending. You're not a threat. You're not, you know, I guess you won the division this year by default because Lamar was hurt and Burrow was hurt.
They beat Baltimore, what, twice?
They did. But obviously it took a miracle, missed field goal and things like that. I don't know. I'm
with you that I think the Tomlin voice and the time.
I mean, he's been there for what?
Just 15, 20
20 years,
He's got one more year on his deal, though.
Gotcha.
And I just wonder with the way they walked out. I know yesterday was ugly for them. We said that's a good Houston defense.
But
remember the way they walked off the field together, though, at the end of the regular season when they wrapped up the division title. They're walking together like men, Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers, and it was, we did this, and the old guys held the old guard, held it together. And I just wonder if they'll tell themselves one more.
I mean, they could.
The two of them.
They could.
Because Tomlin, if you're Pittsburgh, you can't trust him to start finding your new QB and putting together the plan. You're probably ready to say, if you're not already right now, you certainly would be after the one more year on his deal. Brother, we got to move on from you. We haven't been right at quarterback since Roethlisberger. John, the seven straight playoff games they've lost, I think all of them, you said six of seven have been, you've lost by double digits. All of them, you've trailed by at least 21 in each of those games.
Yep.
So you're getting hammered once you get there.
Yep.
And while I agree with you that it's time, I kind of got a feeling they're going to roll back one more. So I'll just be on the other side here, just because I believe they're going to talk themselves into, well, we beat Baltimore, we won the division.
Yes.
Let's play out the final year. I know that's not you. That'd be unusual in terms of from the front office. You don't want your coach going into a last year and sort of being that, you know, on that last year of the deal. But I don't know. If Tomlin doesn't want out right now, I think him and Aaron might go one more, even though it was ugly.
He's now tied with Marvin Lewis for most consecutive playoff losses in NFL history.
8-12. So he started. So how many we say it is in a row? Seven.
Seven.
So he was 8-5 at one point.
Well, yeah, when they had that Super Bowl run with Ben.
It was Ben.
Yeah.
That's and it's gotten super ugly since then.
And they really haven't had a quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of reasons here. It's
16
not,
was the last one, 2016.
And in fairness, you know, if you're, I mean, again, it all falls on the head coach. The defense was not the problem last night. They did their job.
Yes, they did.
Turnovers on C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that, you know, that Houston defense was not giving up anything to old man Rodgers. I mean, they just weren't going to have it.
I told you they're going to get pressure right there within that 3 seconds that he usually gets the ball out. They did. Defensive line is studly.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments in the first half where I'm like, okay, all right, Aaron, you know, you're handling the you know, pressure okay, like getting the ball out to DK Metcalf, but ultimately, once they just got settled in, it was a wrap.
When they got to him, it reminded you how, okay, this is the reason you don't see many 42-year-olds out here. It was violent.
Yes.
They were folding him up, and it sort of felt like Aaron, you know, that face mask is the whole helmet's turned
absolutely
the other way on him. Oh, he's too old out here to trying to be, you know, to withstand this.
Nobody gets sacked like Aaron Rodgers.
Bro, they were folding him up.
Yes.
I feared for him there for a minute. But
like, a lot of quarterbacks get sacked. Nobody gets sacked like Aaron Rodgers. It always looks like it could be the end of his life.
Think about this, too. He's walking out of there. They're in Pittsburgh. They won a division.
Right.
And they were telling him to retire.
Yeah.
That's Pittsburgh fans.
It's time.
What do you think that did to his ego?
I mean, obviously, it's, you know.
You think still I've got a case with it that he might come back when they're telling him that? Or do you think he'll see, that's my thing. He usually don't. Right? He's usually going to do what he wants. You tell him to retire? Oh, I'll come back. Right. I can do it at 43 years old.
Well, if Tomlin comes back, I think I'll put it this way.
One more run is what I'm predicting.
If Tomlin's back, they're both back.
Yep.
Because
if you're Pittsburgh, you'd be a fool to trust whatever your new QB situation is going to be to Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
Let him ride it out on this. They won a division.
Yes.
I will say, though, it's got to be super, like, depressing as a Steelers fan to constantly get to this point and you're down 21 before you.
Yeah.
In each of these seven losses,
you have not won a playoff game since the Obama administration. Okay? You know how long ago that is?
You're seeing the Bears rise up and fly.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing teams that have been down and destitute forever come up and start to win these games now.
Yes.
And
not you, though.
Still hadn't
not
had
you.
A quarterback.
When you get down 20, it's over. There's no hope.
What did our man Calvin do last night?
Dropped a ball that maybe was a pass interference.
Don't put that to hit. Wasn't bigger than DK's drop.
No. I'm just saying, I think he got maybe one or two targets, like, and one of them probably should have been a PI.
3 for 8.
Yeah,
he caught 3 balls for 8 yards.
I don't think anybody was doing much on that offense.
Gainwell 4 for 20.
There was one guy though who showed up to the game for Aaron Rodgers, dressed as Aaron Rodgers. In the Pittsburgh, and they met before the game, and like it was actually hilarious. He had the whole get up.
I've seen him before. Yeah.
He had the whole get up, mm-hmm. and he had like the Steelers helmet on, the black jersey. Like his whole thing on TikTok is he just impersonates Rodgers, you know, and he's like, you got to. It's actually hilarious. Like all the Aaron Rodgers crash outs he recreates, you know.
I must say, as a Bears fan, there were no tears shed. Watching him walk off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially after how proud he was of his ownership of us, huh, guys? Those days are over.
Those days are very
much
over.
He doesn't own much of anything now except all that land up in – doesn't he own some land in Nashville?
I think he does, yeah. I think he does have some type of residence.
Might want to retire to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he might.
Over there with Herb Street, isn't he?
He was supposed to be the Titans quarterback for a minute there.
Can I tell you something? And I'm serious. I don't want this to sound like – boy, Jason's being real – take Herb Street off the NFL now.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
Are there stories being written or anything? He was awful that night.
Yes. People talk about how he sounds noticeably different on college games than he does on NFL games.
He didn't have words, Brad. It was, the only person we let do that is Collinsworth. Because he's earned it. What my point of let do that where you don't have words is, because Collinsworth has earned it, right?
Yeah.
He's graduated to that. Herb Street is because he doesn't have anything for us, guys.
Well, he didn't play in the NFL, right?
I don't think so. Maybe a cup of tea or something, a cup of coffee.
Why is a guy that never played the NFL an NFL
because
color analyst?
We put him. It's the same thing we did with your Rock. We put him. We sprinkle him on everything. We think it's good.
Well, that's yeah.
We overwork Herb Street as it is, and we don't need him here.
Yeah,
it's a disservice to Al. There is so much on Al Michaels' old back.
That's right, and he said
he's got to do these games with Herbie,
and he's coming back next year for y'all's ass.
Man,
so
at least
know.
Put another man in the booth.
Yeah,
an NFL man.
They said Al Michaels was excited for that Packers game. Is that true? I couldn't hear it. I was
yes, he was. And Herb Street could give him nothing. Al was doing all of the work. And he had a great game. He had one of the oldest rivalries, just the third time they're meeting in the playoffs. And Herb Street was not prepared for it, it felt like. Again, I'm not doing this to hate on him. My point is, like, get some help in there for Al. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
We don't have to pay Herb Street all the money.
No, we don't.
There are people that are talented enough to go in there and do a good enough job that it balances Al Michaels out. And really, you help your man out here. He was carrying Herb Street that game.
Well, as per usual.
Huh.
Al Michaels just gets nothing but hated on.
Right.
But he's really the juice.
He's the only thing keeping it alive.
And again, he announced over the weekend that he'll be returning.
Games like that.
Yes.
He got some games this year.
He did.
Get him some help.
Everybody says he's going to get excited. I'm glad he got that.
I'd have a hard time getting excited, too, working with a man that should be covering the Georgia game.
Yeah, oversaturation, no doubt about it.
That's all it is.
Like,
and
I mean,
we have to keep it a real game.
If I'm Al Michaels, it's an honor. Like, why are you in this booth with
me? It doesn't need to be personal.
You didn't play NFL football.
And we've given you a couple years here to prove it and get better and everything else.
Right.
And, you know, if it's just going to be what you learned on the Zooms the night before, like, come on.
I mean, Herbstreit is the only color analyst that did not play the game.
It's ridiculous.
Like every other
come out of the way.
You know, Romo's getting criticized now too. Now he's getting.
We said he's not. I thought he heard the criticism was trying to do a little better though, Guys like Greg Olsen are out there busting their tails, man. Well, so they can be good at it.
Romo was like saying something about how we don't know how this can go. It's a pick 'em. It could go either way. There could be an upset. The underdog, the overdog. It's like the act has worn a little thin on
man,
the audience.
I'm gonna say it. Put Booger in there, man.
I don't know.
Y'all
if I
had
can do
Booger
that.
Around here. What
Booger
was it?
Is a little too far.
What do you, they had him on?
I mean,
what do
we
you,
can we can have auditions?
They had him on the outside machine. They're rolling him around. What, remember that thing?
That was
they
during
had?
COVID, I think. Right?
Was it during COVID or during a regular year? They he's not in a booth. He's out there on the machine.
I would like to believe it was during COVID.
Man couldn't even get in the booth.
For like, you know,
you talk about a man that's paying
social
dues.
Distancing.
I bet you if Al Michaels saw Booger McFarland come through the door of the press, he'd be like, what's up, Booger? Let's do this game. You got some NFL experience.
Yeah.
My point is there are plenty of others we can pay.
Yes.
For that job on Prime, is it? Yes. Help out. Help out.
All ESPN has to do is say, hey, we just don't want you doing any other broadcasts. We want you to focus on us. You know, we're your main employer or whatever.
You got
to
make all the money.
He does. We have to be oversaturated. Although we're not, I mean, he's not the person that is guiltiest of oversaturation, I would say. That distinction would go to Pat McAfee, which we'll get to him in just a little bit. But
cool.
I agree with you fundamentally. I'm not really a fan of Kirk Herbstreit on
time.
The NFL broadcast. Yep. All right, Memphis fans will accept Penny Hardaway's apology last night from his radio show. Is that cap or no cap?
Well, I think, unfortunately, I think it's cap. I'm sure Memphis fans appreciated from Penny Hardaway the honesty, the I suppose you can call it transparency, but what else can you be after that loss to FAU in which you so clearly were run off the floor? He said it was we owe an entire apology to our Tigers fans. I appreciate you guys showing up tonight, but that was just totally unacceptable yesterday. I mean, what do you expect at this point? That's what you have to say, but I think it's going to fall upon deaf ears to the point of the question here.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty much people are looking at whatever comes out now in terms of verbally as potential excuses. You are, if not the most resourced team in AAC basketball, you're right at the top. And I think in basketball, we've come to know it. I don't think South Florida spends as much as you are. You know, basketball is different with Memphis. We've talked about it with football, where you might be right there with South Florida. And so, listen, I know it's just the first loss in the American, but it's the way you lost it.
Yep.
It's how you were run off the floor again. I mean, yep. That was reminiscent of, you know, I'll be honest with you, some of your worst performances of the season, just in terms of effort. I know Bradshaw played well. It's not something I feel like you can hold on to or trust. You see the threes that he hit in that game. And so pretty much the only thing you can do to bottom line this, if you're Penny Hardaway, is to get back out there and play the games. Listen, I know that staff's frustrated with sort of – I will say this. I think they wish they'd had a little bit more equity built up for the season they had last year, right? No, we had to, we lost a lot. We're coming back. We're playing a tough schedule. The pressure's always on us, but that's the job. That's the gig. And let's be real too, that you look back on some of these, the Wake Forest, the UNLV game, and those are sort of unacceptable outcomes. And so I wish they'd won that NCAA tournament last year too. And maybe folks might be a little bit more willing to hear the apologies and whatever else and trust, but that didn't happen. And ultimately, you got one tournament win over the 7 years. You're in year eight. You needed to build upon that. And we're not sure, based on the way this team played on Sunday, if it's getting better, right, to a point where it can do that. It's looking more like, man, is it even going to make the tournament? Is it going to win the conference? And so it's hard to listen to Penny, to go back to the point and trust, okay, yeah, now he's got it figured out, because that's what you've had so few of our answers this season. And Penny said it. I've tried everything after the – you know, after the ball game, he talked about it. Well, appreciate the apology. Unfortunately, I think it's going to fall upon deaf ears.
Yeah, I think people are just over the words, right? Yeah,
the action.
Yeah, it's like, it's just
this point.
We don't need words. We just need it. We just need results. Like, it's just that simple. So, I mean, sure, is it nice that, you know, Penny acknowledged how bad it was, you know, and of course, but like, if they come out against Temple tomorrow night or whenever, you know, is it tomorrow night?
If they
come out against Temple tomorrow night and lose that game or win that game by, you know, the skin of their teeth, I don't think Memphis fans are going to feel any better about it. So it's just at this point, words don't really matter. You know, it's just about, You know, can there be a little bit of consistency with the starting lineup? You know, can you truly follow through and settle on 7 to 8 guys in a rotation? Because we know that's where Penny's teams have been their best, when there's like roles are clearly defined. And he keeps talking about how, you know, guys need to know, well, like, brother, that is ultimately on you to do that. Like, you're the coach. Like, you're the one that has to make them understand this is what it is. This is what you do. This is what, you know, this is our expectations of you. And the fact that we're 15 games in and we're still having these conversations is the disturbing part, I think.
You pointed out, and it really is stark, but you are at the lowest point of the Penny Hardaway era, in the sense of right now at 87 at KenPom, it's the lowest you've ever been. And you're not going to dig yourself out of that, with all due respect, with words, with hope that they still believe in you.
Right.
It's literally going out there, whether it's shortening up the rotation and winning games in this conference where you're spending the most. You don't see the drop-off year sort of for a Gonzaga, which is supposed to be the best in its conference every year and pretty much running it. That's what we've come to expect now.
Exactly.
And it was scary on Sunday.
It was.
But listen, you'd seen flashes. Rice was a little bit too competitive, to be honest with you, for the schedule that you played, for what you're spending on your roster. But we've given you the benefit of the doubt. You go 2-0. You know, to lose the way you did against FAU, that's scary, especially looking as it relates to the rest of the season. I'm saying there's one way to get it in gear here. It's not with words. It's with wins. There's enough talent on that roster to do so. It's still the charge. But unfortunately, every game we've sort of got to assess.
Right.
You know, is it going to look this way at the end of the season or not?
Right.
Right. Unfortunately, there's not a lot there to make you believe that it is.
Well,
improving.
I mean, and I would just say, like, you know, people have tweeted me, and you know, because I tweeted after they beat Rice by 6, they actually dropped the KenPom, and people say, well, you know, KenPom doesn't even matter. We can't get an at-large. First of all, you know, KenPom never matters to the at-large discussion. They don't take KenPom metrics into account for any seeding. That's the net. But KenPom is simply just a reflection of your quality. That's what it is. It's just like this is a real-time diagnostics test of this is what you are offensively, this is what you are defensively. Like, this is the you know, the grade of your team, basically. And while, no, the Tigers are not going to be able to earn an at-large bid at this point, we know that, mm-hmm. let's still improve. Let's still see this team improve over the course of the season, that there's a fit. They're obviously the most talented. They obviously have the biggest budget. I don't want to see, and nobody should want to see, this KenPom number go down, go down, go down, go down. I mean, the fact that they are 87th right now with no clear path really out of that is the part that's, you know, troublesome. Now, again, does it matter to a that large discussion? No. But you want to see good basketball, better basketball being played. Maybe this group just is not capable of it. Maybe this is just not.
I mean, at this point, I think if they don't get the double bye, they're forget winning the conference tournament. This
right.
team right here,
they're not winning
that,
3 games.
That looks
in a
like
row.
Right now it could lose to anybody in the conference.
Yes.
So you better be a top 2 seed.
Right.
I mean, that's why these games, and you need to be getting better so you can solidify one of those top 2 seeds. Looks like
right.
a double bye going to be extremely important for this team.
Absolutely.
This year, as inconsistent as it's been. I'm not going to make excuses. You know, I'd love again to say, boy, we can trust it, because look at last year. Look at the equity Penny's built up. Look at all the tournament success. You don't have that, and you can't afford years like this. Listen, we have to hold it. You keep it a buck, and we have to hold these coaches to the same account, and that's winning your conference with what's invested. There are a few schools in this conference spending on both.
Yep.
Okay. You are. And it needs to be better than this in conference. Like, that's, you know, we what are we talking about? We were just laughing basically at the gym they're in.
Yeah.
They're using it against us now, saying, look, and we ran them out of it,
yep.
out of this little tiny gym. Let's be, this is look in the mirror time. It ain't time for words or laughing at others. Frankly, it's time to get your business in order and go win the conference like you're supposed to do.
That's right. That's right.
Sick of these excuses.
Yeah, I don't know that they can. I don't know that they'll be able to do it.
Why not? If you don't, especially if you don't get that double bye. Forget
yeah.
I don't care about the regular season. I care about one of the top 2 seeds.
Right.
Because they're going to need it, it looks
like. The
only
thing you care about the regular season is just that the top one would be a top 2 team.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're outside of that,
seed.
You're obviously going to be.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
To this team.
You're going to be up against it, no doubt about it. I would bet against them being a top 2 team at this point, you know, just because, like, you know, are they going to win at Tulsa? Are they going to win at Wichita State? Are they going to win at Tulane?
Well, this is, if KenPom's got 5 more losses at
right.
that I'm looking at right now, at least
right.
projected.
That's probably not going to be top 2.
Tulsa
12
away
and 6.
And the Wichita State away.
Yeah. I mean, and that's,
all these away
and that's
games,
basically
I mean.
Assuming no home losses, like none. I mean, I realize they don't lose at home in the American usually, but I mean, you kind of feel like they're going to be susceptible here to one of these games. You know, at North Texas, do we really think they're going to win at North Texas? I don't know. By the time they get there, yeah, because that's the part of this I don't know. Is like, are they going to hold on to the rope, you know, this team that doesn't have chemistry anyway? You know, now they lost an embarrassing game on the road at FAU. I don't know.
337 in the country in turnover percentage.
Yep.
Like, it's only gotten worse. Yep. Something that we pointed to has been one of the reasons Penny hadn't been able to turn the corner as bad as it's ever been.
Right, because there was actually a moment in this season where, you know, let's just rewind to Sunday morning, December the 7th. You just beat Baylor at home. You had Purdue, you know, on the ropes a little bit in Bahamas. You lost a heartbreaker to Wake Forest.
Well, there was something to be pulled out of there if you'd won the Wake Forest game like you're supposed to.
Yeah. You could tell yourself, like, hey, this is still, like, salvageable.
Yeah, you'd say, we're getting better, as it were, figuring it out. All of that works. And it's not just a narrative. It's something you believe in-house. It's something – it's sort of plans that you get to, you know, that start to work. And guys you pick, okay, that's a rotation. This worked for us. But, unfortunately, it's all sort of become unraveled since the – you were – you know, Mississippi State, wish you'd want – hell, Vanderbilt was an opportunity – I don't want to say it came unraveled there. I guess I still believed once they started conference, John, that this would be a team that, hey, yeah. So conference play starts, they're going to handle their business. It's right. The way they lost on Sunday that scares me to death.
Most definitely.
Can't afford not to be in the NCAA tournament.
They're back in action tomorrow against Temple. And then last one, we stand with Lynn Jones. Lynn Turpin Jones. Excuse me. Let me get the full name in there. Who is that? Lynn Turpin Jones is a reporter based in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And let me make sure I get her Jacksonville Free Press,
yep.
Which I believe is a black newspaper. It's an African-American newspaper, and obviously not a ton of those throughout the United States. So very proud veteran journalist, and she's the associate editor. She's actually not a reporter. She's an associate editor of that newspaper. And she's obviously based in Jacksonville, and she was at the game on – was it Sunday? Jacksonville and Buffalo. Obviously, the Jacksonville lost in the last drive there by Josh Allen. And if you have not heard the press conference that is generating so much controversy across the nation today, all the things going on, Jason, in the world, it is Lynn Jones Turpin, who is generating the most outrage. Have a listen.
How you doing today? Lynn Jones, Jacksonville Free Press News. I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
Hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
And you did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you
it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thank
and
you,
ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, so that was the exchange there from Lynn Jones Turpin and Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen. Basically, you know, she got a question and she used that opportunity to encourage, to
she did.
Try to lift Liam Cohen in that moment. Now, people are very upset about this. People are very upset about this. How could you take time away from these grizzled veteran journalists who are trying to get insight.
Trying to get the story, John.
You know, who are trying to, who only get so many opportunities to ask questions. You know, trying to dot, you know.
We rarely get to talk to these people.
Do the.
They've taken the access away over the years, you know.
That's right. That's right. And so there are people out there who are genuinely like, and it's.
No, there are.
It's the people.
Like real
that,
reporters.
It's the reporters. It's not the fans, right? It's not the everyday people. It's the journalists that, you know, you probably don't like in the first place because of their disposition. I mean, there's just no world where this would ever bother me. Even if I was in that room, even if I was a Jacksonville Jaguars beat writer for ESPN or whoever, you know, like it's just harmless, really. It was 30 seconds. Was it performative by Lynn Jones Turpin? Sure, it was a little performative.
Oh, I knew you'd say that.
It was. It was like a little self-serving, you know.
I don't disagree with that.
But
because she could have done it afterwards.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
She could have done it privately.
Yes.
Especially if they have a relationship.
Right. But is it going to be something that I like, can you believe this? This is an absolute outrage. No, I mean, I just cannot possibly believe anybody would come away from that interaction thinking that way.
She's coming from too good a place to truly look. you know, after you get off your little frustration about, well, I couldn't ask my question, or this is a waste of, how can you really, you know, be mad at her
right.
for taking that time
right.
to encourage the man? She's clearly got a relationship with her. She's someone who is around the team. While, you know, I'm sure that the coverage that Jacksonville Free Press doesn't get nearly as read as,
right.
as, you know, the mainstream ones there. She's someone who's been around, clearly, and someone they respect. And I appreciate the way that that Liam Cohen handled it. Too right there.
Yeah.
You know, not trying to shush her or push her away or,
yeah.
or to shut it down.
Yeah.
I appreciate the way he handled it, but not listen, we can get up in a tizzy about this or respect it for what it is. You know, all of them don't have to go status quo.
Correct.
All of them don't have to go, you know, question, answer. It is a protocol typically.
Right.
But there can be room for moments like this that are a little bit different.
Yep.
I don't think anybody needs to be overly mad at her. Now, if you're one of those journalists that's pecking away there, because we used to be one of them, I think you have more of an axe to grind
mm-hmm.
about what goes on in those sessions than a McAfee does.
Right.
Right, who's not in those sessions. Who isn't working during that time.
Right.
Because I will say this, I do understand if you've got 4 or 5 questions you want to get in,
right.
and there's a limited amount that are going to happen in that presser, and you're constantly raising your hand, and you can't get that question in,
right.
because, with all due respect, Lynn in this case has taken up some time that could have been used for a word question. I'm just going to say I understand that. I'm not mm-hmm. going to say it's fair to be angry with her, because I still think that's a joke.
Right.
But my point, I understand that axe to grind
yes.
more so than the, let's be real, the McAfees now who are trying to get some clicks coming in on a topic people are talking about, who he's never used that
he has
time
no
to,
credibility.
To have to work.
He has
to
no credibility
my point,
in that
to
arena.
Have to pump out a story.
Correct.
Maybe sometimes on deadline.
That's right.
And get that story out with a quote in it.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I can understand why
yes.
a few people would be a little bit frustrated.
Well, Pat McAfee,
being used there.
Pat McAfee has his head so far up his ass that he doesn't even know how wrong he is.
Well, he can swoop in and do
totally.
This stuff and swoop out.
Totally.
And,
but his show depends on actual journalists. That's what he won't.
Oh, 1,000. Great,
that's what he's not willing to acknowledge.
Great point, John.
Because if there aren't journalists there who are taking videos, who are tweeting things, who are Schefter that joins his show, Shams that joins his show, if those people aren't doing their jobs, he doesn't have content, right, with which to entertain the masses. If that's your cup of tea, he is not mine. But I know that he is many people's. So without journalism, he does not have a show. There's another element of this, which is like the bar has changed a little bit. The standard of entry has changed for these things in the last 15 to 20 years.
Absolutely.
You know, I've kind of noticed it as well. Like when I came in, it was kind of difficult to get credentialed for Memphis things, right? Like they had some parameters that you had to meet mm-hmm. to get credentialed at the University of Memphis for, and I'm just speaking on that. And I think the Grizzlies on some level were like that as well. But you know, you don't have to have a journalism degree in 2026 to be in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's, I'm saying it. You don't have to, as long as you exhibit professionalism, you know. Like, I have absolutely don't show up to the press conference in a freaking Cedric Coward jersey. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't have to have a journalism degree from anywhere. You don't have to have, you know, we live in an age of content now, you know, of media. It's not so much journalism anymore. It's media. And anybody can be media.
Well, then half the time it's team media. You've got
right,
these
exactly.
teams that are absolutely, that are
100%.
Out. Well, and they're asking questions.
That's
sometimes.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I mean,
we've mixed it up and crossed the line
no
10 times
question.
And left and right and come
no
back
question.
The other way on this
no,
stuff.
No question about it. So
real.
I am not somebody that's in their ivory tower about this. Like, you know, and she has, you know, some bona fides. I mean, she's the associate editor of a black newspaper there. But I'm just saying, like, she's obviously not a traditional sports journalist, clearly, and that's okay, and that's fine. And I thought it was a nice little respite from the usual, like, you know, hey, you know, what happened there on that play from
exactly.
Trevor Lawrence? You know, I mean,
been
like,
doing
we
that
all
stuffy
know what
stuff
happened.
For decades, man.
I don't need Liam Cohen to tell me that the ball got tipped on the final Trevor Lawrence pass. I was watching it. We all were watching it. So, again, this is pretty harmless stuff. And in the end, if you're the Jacksonville media crew, I think you recognize, okay, that was a throwaway 30 seconds. We're not going to count that against the question counter, right? Like, we just, that never happened, basically. And so,
she said, you the one, John.
Now, she did say you the one. I think,
man,
that,
wouldn't that make you feel good if somebody stopped the presser to tell you that you the one?
It would make me feel good.
I told you, John 901, you representing you the one.
I think he was extremely confused by the entire thing.
I think it's happened before, so that he probably wasn't. Okay. My guess is they know what Lynn be on, as the young people would say. They know her vibe.
Right. We got some people like that
especially
in the Memphis media.
Especially coming on a tough loss.
Somebody's
going to be there to pick you up, to pour in.
How come nobody's ever said that to Penny, though? We have a lot of Penny fans in the media. How come nobody's ever lifted Penny like that?
We know it ain't you and Jeff Goodman going to be doing it.
I think Parth should have told Penny after the FAU loss, you the one.
Parth was pushing, wasn't he? It's like, well, what you going to do?
I like it. Let's go.
I know what you said, but what you going to do? That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Parth trying to push back.
Parth don't play, bro. Mm-hmm. Parth don't play. But now we got to plant some people like that in the Memphis media to live. You know, how come nobody says that to Isolo? You the one, man. You blow a 19-point lead at the half, man. You the one.
Isolo hadn't turned this thing around. Got the Grizzlies in the playoffs. Look at what Cohen's done.
I think Bennett,
he's earned it.
Bennett works for the team. He should be put in the press conference to tell Isolo, you the one. That's what I would do. That's how I would use Bennett after the games, man.
Y'all want your stuffy media and like your baseball Hall of Fame voter type.
That's right.
That's the
that's
way
right.
you like your media.
Not yeah. again. I am.
I know. Yeah, you wouldn't be of that ilk.
I would.
Sure.
I would induct
you
all would, the steroid you, users.
They would. Baseball Hall of Fame wouldn't even allow
because
you
everybody was doing it. Everybody was using the steroids, but not everybody hit 70 home runs in a season.
Well, thank you for your opinion, outsider. They don't want it.
That's right.
Because you're not one of them.
Just tell the truth. You don't want it. You don't want me to vote on the Hall of Fame because you can't handle it.
No, I would love it. I think we should have votes. I think we should open it up.
Right.
And then we'd have Sam M. McGuire in there.
That's right. That's right.
For what they did summer of 98, I believe.
We could induct Sammy twice, like for each skin tone that he's had throughout his career.
Play. That's real. You don't know what he's going through.
I think he's back to his like 90s skin tone now.
Yeah. But I think he was bleached.
We'll continue to monitor that situation.
Supposed to be Lago.
This show, we stand with Lynn Jones.
I think so.
And she went on like a Jacksonville TV show, like a news
she's
show.
She's getting torn up.
She
man.
Is. And she said, honey, I've been doing this for a long time. She didn't take offense to the people that were criticizing her. I'm a fan of her. I'm a fan of Lynn Jones.
Most of these teams want positive coverage anyway.
That's right.
They should
do
the Lynn Jones hour. Jacksonville City Media.
That's right. That's right.
And make her the president of the thing. Look like she's perfect for it.
Yes. Some controversy from this press
God
conference
bless that, woman.
That happened over the weekend. All right, we'll come back. Trista Crick's going to join us at 10 a.m. We got a lot to get to with her. We'll talk to her. What's next? Trista Crick is next, Jason. You just did a whole entire first hour on this show on Lynn Jones.
When you're on that coffee.
We will take a break and come back with the great Trista Crick. It's going to be exciting. Stick around. J&J, 99.9 FM, ESPN.